Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Mary Toko as my special expert guest. Mary Toko is on the board of directors for the World Association for Vaccine Education, the director of vaccine research and education for Michigan Opposing Mandatory Vaccines, and is also affiliated with Mothering Magazine as a member of Ask the Experts. Mary is the radio show host of Healing Our Word, sponsored by Republic Broadcasting Network, heard every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. She speaks around the U.S. and Canada and is a frequent guest on many national radio programs. Mary, a member and co-founder of the American Chiropractic Autism Board, sponsors the Hope for Autism training conferences for children suffering with autism spectrum disorders. She is on a passionate mission to educate parents so they can make an informed vaccine decision. Mary has been in the natural health care field for over 30 years and is married to chiropractor Sam Toko of Clarkston, Michigan. Together, they have five healthy, unvaccinated children. Good morning, Mary, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning to you too, Corey. I'm glad to be with you today.
Mary, I'm so excited to speak with you about this controversial topic of immunization. I'm a father, and all the parents that I know, it's always a huge concern. But can you tell us what brought you into this entire field and why you're so immersed in it?
Sure. I've had my first child back in 1980. And before we had our first daughter, who's now 32, my husband was a chiropractic student. So we were learning all about natural immunity and, of course, what we call a vitalistic approach to health. And so when we were looking at the whole vaccine issue and tried to determine if it was what we wanted to do for our children, that there was enough information out there that vaccines were, number one, not tested long for safety, and we just didn't feel that they were healthy to inject into the human body. There was enough compelling information that made us decide not to use vaccinations and to rely on natural immunity or Mother Nature with our own children. And then, in the state of Michigan, where I live, they were going to pass a bill to remove our philosophical exemption. And we are one of, I guess, about 16 states that have three exemptions if you want to opt out of vaccinations. So I got really involved, and we formed Michigan Opposing Mandatory Vaccines, and we were able to defeat that bill. And to this day, we still have three exemptions. And that was the beginning of, that was the first time I ever spoke publicly because I was asked to testify before our government health committee here. And that began my dedication. You know, I just realized that, number one, I really knew my information, and I wanted to share it with parents because parents are just not given enough information in order to make an informed decision. They're only one side of the story, which is promoted, supported, and encouraged by the medical establishment and all of those agencies that make millions and millions of dollars. And so that really is what started it for me. I wanted other parents to have the opportunity to raise their children free of the toxic drug vaccines and make the decision based on medical documentation. So ever since 94, that's what I've been doing.
And what a job you've been doing, because I've had a chance to examine some of your work. You know, Tracy and I learned of your research by watching the video, Are Vaccines Safe? I mean, we were spellbound. I mean, this is a huge issue to me. It has been ever since the birth of my first daughter in 1982. And now you covered a lot of information, some really good stuff. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff when you're sitting there listening to it, you're thinking, I got to, you know, get everybody to listen to this stuff. And it seems like the only people that have an interest in listening to it are the ones that are already converted. But maybe for the people out there listening right now, and we've got thousands all over the world listening to this show, many of them are parents, many of them are going to be parents. What are some of the highlights from that video? I know that there's a lot, but what are some of the most important principles you think that we need to take home with us and really metabolize and digest?
Before I even started to do the video, I had spoken to to thousands and thousands of parents face-to-face and lecturing across Michigan, Ohio, Florida, you know, different states around the country where people would have me come in and speak. So I really, and I always did a survey, and I always found out what is it that parents need to know. And so that whole DVD is geared towards parents. I am, first and foremost, a parent, and so I made it easy to understand. And the first thing that we want to know is, well, what's being injected into our children? I think that should be the very first question that any parent asks, whether it's an over-the-counter medication or something that the doctor's recommending is, you know, what is this injection, what's in it, and how could it affect my child adversely? So the first thing I cover, or that I think parents want to know about, are vaccine ingredients. Because if you don't know what is in a vaccination, how can you sign a consent form? And this happens every time a person goes into the doctor's office to get the child a vaccine. They sign a consent form, and they really don't understand what they're consigning or what they're consenting to. So vaccine ingredients are very, very important. The benefits of natural immunity. Natural immunity is something we're born with. It's not something we're void of. It begins in utero, and while the mother's developing the child, about the fifth week into development. And the body is preparing the T cells so that when the child is born, their body knows how to respond to its environment. And yet the current medical establishment has us believing that there is like no immune system, that these kids are totally vulnerable. And in fact, it's very different than that. When a child travels through the birth canal, the TH1 of the immune system is stimulated, which is where acute illnesses and immunity begin. And if a baby breastfeeds, that child has the benefit of more immune stimulation. The milk is actually stimulating the TH1 arm of the immune system, which is where immunity begins and where it grows. And vaccinations, on the other hand, do the complete opposite. They stimulate the TH2 arm of the immune system. And when one is high, the other is low. And that is the exact opposite that nature would have it be. And so I educate parents on the benefits of natural immunity. And also, we have the right to decide. We still do in this country have the right to decide. Now, they are making it very difficult for some in some states. You have to either sign a religious exemption or get a medical exemption from a medical doctor, which is very difficult to do. But in many states, we still have a philosophical exemption. So parents need to know that, you know, first of all, they need to find out what their state laws are, and then they need to know how to defend their rights, because it's up to them to decide if they want to do one vaccine, five vaccines, 20 vaccines, or all 38 vaccines. It's really up to them. And so that's covered on the DVD. And then we talk all about different facts about specific vaccines, going through congressional hearings, you know, hearings on the mercury. I've been researching for so many years that it's hard to get it all in one vaccine DVD. But it's there, and it's certainly enough to get parents started so that they can see why so many people are now concerned about vaccinations and opting out of the vaccine program.
I'm persuaded by logic and good science that's not corrupted, and reality and what's real and statistics. Now, one of the slides you presented in your seminar persuaded me, you know, and I know this from the past because I've done my own research, but a lot of people don't know. But is it true to say that the eradication of these infectious diseases that we're immunizing our children with the vaccine, is it true that there are other factors responsible for their eradication as opposed to vaccination?
Absolutely. Vaccines were not even introduced into this country on a large scale until 10 years after the death rate of all of these infectious illnesses was decreased in almost to nothing. And when I did my research, I found out that back then, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, you could find studies done on this. And now they're very difficult to find because nobody wants to do them because the money machine is running so well that they don't want people to know the truth. But according to the World Health Statistics Annual, and this is what they do, they look at statistics worldwide. This is a quote from their study that they released in 1976. There's been a steady decline of infectious diseases in most developing countries, regardless of the percentage of vaccine administered. It is because of improved sanitation, improved public water supply, improved personal hygiene, and better distribution, increased consumption of fresh fruit and vegetables, that the death rate for these diseases declined dramatically. In addition, diseases for which there were never vaccines also declined. And on my presentation, I show you charts and graphs of you know, when the diseases were declining and then when the vaccines were administered. And in my current presentations that I do all over the country, I show you this not only in the United States, but in Canada and other countries around the world, where it has been documented that when we take in clean water, good sanitation, and we teach people about personal hygiene, and they get more, you know, fruits and vegetables to build their body, that the death rate of all these infectious illnesses drops off dramatically. And so really, vaccinations cannot take credit for eradicating any illnesses, including smallpox. The smallpox vaccination, you know, every time you hear the local health department or the CT on the news saying, you know, anything about smallpox, they say, we have eradicated smallpox from the world because of our vaccine program. And guess what? Only 10% of the world got the vaccine. So how can you say that you have eradicated an illness when only 10% of the world got the vaccine? And if you look more carefully, it's wherever they improve water, sanitation, and nutrition. So that fact has been pretty much disproven.
Yeah, and isn't it wonderful that the protocol that we know that prevents infection is the same exact protocol that we've been shouting from the rooftops to everyone everywhere about how to stay well and get well?
Oh, for sure. It's, you know, there's fundamental keys to health. And if you know how to support your body, nurture it, and encourage it through proper nutrition, good, healthy, organic foods. You know how it is. I'm sure you talk about it all the time. And, of course, I'm a huge fan of chiropractic and other non-invasive therapies that help tune up the body. People can be really, really healthy if they just understand how to get healthy.
Yeah, and having faith in that process, I think, is the key, because what I see is a lot of fear-mongering and people persuaded on fear, which, as you know, is a very common tact used in medicine to frighten people into compliance. Now, regarding the vaccine schedules, I want you, if you can, to maybe give us an idea of what a typical protocol is for an infant born in, say, Michigan. What time does it start, and what would be the schedule of the shots? Which shots would they be looking at? And what are people lining up and doing down in your neck of the woods?
Well, first of all, years ago, we only got one or two or three vaccines, and we were perhaps 3 or 4 or 5 years of age. And as they began to develop more vaccines, they made the age lower and lower. So now when a baby is born in the hospital anywhere in the United States, they are recommended to get the hepatitis B vaccination day 1 or day 2 before they leave the hospital. Now, I have several problems with that particular vaccine. First of all, hepatitis B is a disease that usually inflicts adults who are using street drugs or having multiple sexual partners. It's not something that children are normally exposed to, and it shouldn't even be part of the childhood program. And that particular vaccination contains very high levels of aluminum. And so the child will usually get the Hep B shot in the hospital unless a parent objects. Now, you can, as a parent, anywhere in the country, object to getting this vaccination to your newborn child. If you're very careful, you have to understand that the hospitals are automatically going to do this. And if you go to a hospital for a birth, you are signing paperwork when you get in that says they can do whatever they feel is medically necessary. So you have to be very, very proactive at stopping this from happening to your child. And even parents who have requested it not to be done have found out after the fact, when they get the bill from the hospital, that the child did in fact get the vaccine while it was away from mom and dad in the nursery. So I always warn parents, be very, very careful not to let the baby out of your sight. Then a child is required to go in every 2 months for the first year to 2 years of life, where they receive multiple vaccines. and I'm trying to pull up the actual chart. If you go to any, I'm going to pull it up while we talk so that I can, I'm going to do the vaccine recommendations, because they are requiring up to 26 vaccinations the first year of life and up to 38 by the time a child is an adolescent. And they're giving them multiple doses in one given day. And that is one of my biggest concerns, is that they're giving so many vaccines in one given day that I believe it overwhelms the child's ability to detox the toxic load, and that's what's setting our children up for all of the chronic illnesses that we see.
So that's an important difference between, say, 20, 30, 40 years ago when vaccination first started compared to today. We're overloading these kids, and there seems to be a profit motive tied in with all of this.
Absolutely. You know, if you have a child who dies after vaccination or has a severe lifelong disability because of vaccines or even has autism, that you cannot sue. You cannot sue the company. The companies are completely protected from all liability. And this is a huge problem with me. Never before has our government protected a private industry in such a way to where they can literally put any kind of vaccination they want out. And if your child dies, there's nothing you can do. Now, we do have in place something called the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System in Washington. And we also have in place the Vaccine Compensation System, which were added to the program because vaccine manufacturers were getting sued by so many people, they were almost forced out of business. So back in the 80s, they went to the government and said, look, if you want us to do vaccines, you need to protect us. So they did. And so instead, if you believe a child is injured, died, or is permanently disabled, or has autism, or whatever, you have to go and file a claim with the vaccine compensation system. But you have to file it within 2 years of the onset of the injury, and you must be able to prove it somehow through doctor's records or whatever. It's very, very, very difficult to get a claim filed and settled. But as we speak, there have been over $6 billion claims settled, and we know that there have been 68 cases for autism-related illnesses settled since 1999. So when your government sits there and tells you over the news, through the CDC or through the American Academy of Pediatrics, that there's no link with vaccinations and autism, know that that just isn't true. They just can't tell you that because they'll have 5,000-plus cases that they will have to settle. And so this is the big problem. They are protected. The manufacturers are protected from liability. And then even if you do have a child injured, it's very difficult to get compensated. They have 17 full-time attorneys working on their end to keep the money in fund and not give it to you. So it's, the whole system is corrupt and really needs to be shut down.
Yeah, amen, sister. I mean, it's like bloody Sodom and Gomorrah. The state of affairs right now on the planet with the monetary system driving everything and the greed, the corruption, Wall Street. We're seeing it all fall apart right in front of us. And I especially see it in the lives of people. The health of the average man and woman on the street is just terrible. Eating the junk food, addictions, denying all of the information, having no interest. So thank goodness there's people like you, though, and there's people that are willing to listen and take the advice because it makes sense. Now, what about these kids that get immunized and they still contract the disease that they were trying to protect against? Isn't it true that vaccination is not 100% guarantee?
Well, first of all, vaccines do not lead to lifelong immunity, ever, never, ever, ever. Okay, and that's one theory that is perpetuated that really, you know, and to understand the natural immunity in the human body, it's not a vaccination. Remember, a vaccine drives immunity into the Th2 arm of the immune system, which does nothing to promote lifelong immunity. In fact, we are now learning more and more about when we do this, because we're doing it on such a mass scale, we're now seeing autoimmune problems related to the Th2 arm of the immune system be stimulated instead of the Th1 arm. You see, the vaccine theory started over 80 to 100 years ago, and the theory is based on outdated understanding of immunity. We know so much more now in the last 10 to 15 years than the doctors did years and years ago. In fact, they had to rewrite all the immunological textbooks in the late 1980s and early 1990s because they were so inaccurate. And so any new immunologist coming out of school, I would love to hear from some of them because they're learning a lot more information about the immune system. And we can, it has truly been validated now that vaccines do not push immunity into the right direction. They actually cause the opposite, which can lead to allergies and autoimmune illnesses. And there was a recent study that just came out. The authors were Neil Miller, who has written he's written many books on immunizations, and also Dr. Gary Goldman. They did a literary review to determine the immunization schedules for the United States, and they compared it to 33 other nations who have better infant mortality rates than we do. And what they discovered is that we have more children die in this country than 27 other countries around the world. And actually, I'm sorry, it's not 27. We slipped to number 34. We are number 34. 33 other countries now have better sudden infant death rates than we do. And one of the biggest things we saw that they saw in the study was that all of these other countries do less than half of the vaccines than we do. If vaccines work to protect our children and promote their health, then why are our children dying off at such high rates? And see, this is the question people need to start asking. If vaccines really work, why are children in this country sicker than 30-something other countries around the world? You see, it doesn't make sense.
No, no, it doesn't, and you're absolutely right. Mary, here in British Columbia on the news channel recently, even this morning, there is a concern. There is a very high number of SIDS babies, an unusually high number for the length of time so far this year. Now, have you come across any connection between immunization and SIDS babies?
You know what? There's so much research about sudden infant death syndrome and vaccinations. You have to look at what's happened in the last year. First of all, we know that they were giving pregnant women the H1N1 flu vaccination. Never before in the history of human medicine were they recommending vaccines for pregnant women. In fact, any medical doctor who is of right mind will admit that when he was in school, he was taught that you do not give pregnant women drugs, heavy-duty drugs and medications, and you do not vaccinate them. All of a sudden, that safety theory just flew out the window with the H1N1 flu scare, and they recommended that the pregnant women were the ones to get vaccinated. So we had a whole, in 99, the year of the flu season, 2009 and 2010, we had more women losing their children while they were pregnant after getting the flu vaccine than ever before, documented in history. In fact, my daughter testified here in the United States, my daughter, Dr. Renee Toko, testified on behalf of the National Coalition of Organized Women, saying that they had more women who had spontaneous abortions and miscarriages after the H1N1 flu vaccine than any other time ever registered. And it was like to the point of, I think it was 3,800 women lost their babies in the flu season, 2009-2010. And of course, the CDC completely ignored this. So I think we have to look at what the women, and you said British Columbia did, and I think we also have to look at what vaccines they're giving these babies. Sometimes vaccines come in very, very, very toxic lots. They're already toxic by nature. They already contain high amounts of aluminum and mercury and lead and phenol and acetone and all other terrible things that don't belong in the human body. And then you have to look at the lots because the lots are oftentimes unstable. And I really think somebody needs to call for a thorough investigation. In fact, you guys should probably try to get hold of Neil Miller and Dr. Goldman. I can email you their information, but Neil Miller has a website called thinktwice.com. And it'd be very interesting to do a follow-up research study in your area related to vaccines.
Okay, thanks very much for that. A video that I saw on your website, you were talking about the actual amount in terms of micrograms of aluminum and how the exposure adds up to an amount that exceeds even what I think the FDA says is toxic. Can you comment a little bit about that one-size-fits-all concept of vaccination?
Absolutely. You know what part of the problem is when we discovered that there was mercury thimerosal in vaccines, the drug companies were scrambling to figure out, well, what can we do? We've got to remove it. They know about it. Believe it or not, they were ordered to take it out multiple times throughout history, and they completely, somehow or another, I don't know if they paid people off, but they end up leaving mercury in. Well, there's still mercury in, but they've had to reduce the mercury, so they increase the amount of aluminum. Aluminum and mercury are adjuvants. An adjuvant is an agent that stimulates the immune system and increases the response to a vaccine so that they can use less vaccine and so that parents don't have to go in as often. They are very unstable, and they are usually some form of heavy metal, and aluminum is one of the vaccine adjuvants used in many of the vaccines. By the way, just to give you an idea, a normally vaccinated child will go in and get two hepatitis B shots with 250 micrograms of aluminum. They'll get the DTaP vaccine, which contains 625 micrograms of aluminum, and they will get that shot four times. They'll receive three Hib vaccines, each contain 225 micrograms of aluminum. The PCV vaccine, they will get four times. That contains 125 micrograms of aluminum. And the hepatitis A vaccine, they will get two times, which contains 250 micrograms of aluminum. So when you add all this up, a fully vaccinated child by 18 months is going to get approximately 4,925 micrograms of aluminum. According to the only safety study done on aluminum, anything given to an infant over 10 micrograms is considered toxic. I'll repeat that. Anything given to an infant, only 10 micrograms, is considered toxic. And our children in the United States, and probably in most of the top, you know, vaccinating countries, including Canada, are going to get approximately 4,925 micrograms of aluminum each year vaccinations. Dr. Sears, who wrote a book about vaccinations, he's the one that really put this all together. He says, quote, "This is disgraceful and dangerous. My instinct was to assume that the issue had been properly researched and that the studies had been done on healthy infants to determine their ability to rapidly excrete aluminum. No studies have been done." And now we have, in the Journal of Autoimmunity, July 15, 2010, they are describing a new syndrome in children called ASIA, autoimmune syndrome induced by adjuvants. Can you imagine that? They have a new syndrome. Instead of saying, well, gosh, why are our children having syndromes from adjuvants and where are the adjuvants coming from, they just call it a new syndrome and report it. And I believe it's because of the aluminum levels that our children are getting now in the vaccines.
Wow. And of course, I just read an article criticizing the fact that these things are injected directly into the bloodstream. It's not the same as being exposed to aluminum and mercury in our food supply, which has to, you know, pass through the digestive system, and not all of it gets absorbed. So this is direct. It's an assault on the system in the blood, as I guess as close to the innate source of life as you can get in the bloodstream, and that's probably why it's more intense or poses a greater risk than even aluminum and mercury from other sources, which, as we all know, are toxic heavy metal burdens.
Absolutely, and that's part of the problem. They always refer, when they talk about the aluminum level or whatever, they're referencing studies done on ingestion, eating, and not injection. Because you know what? Aluminum has a positive charge. It is an electrical charge, a positive electrical charge. There are no studies out there about, well, gee, what happens when you put a positively charged metal into the blood, which is negatively charged. Our blood by nature is negatively charged. and it's charged negatively so that things are carried in suspension, and they are dumped and dropped off where they need to be dumped and dropped off throughout the body. This is how human nature set it up. Well, we know that they use aluminum in wastewater treatment facilities to clump all of the sludge together and make it drop to the bottom, and then they skim off the clean water. Do you know that when you inject aluminum via vaccinations or other medications into the bloodstream, it causes a clumping just like that? And you know, they don't even look at this. Nobody is even considering the charge. They only look at the body as a physiological, chemical body, and they forget to think about the electrical and all the other parts of the human body when they develop these vaccinations. I believe the vaccines are the number one worst thing that the medical establishment has ever brought to humanity. And if we are lucky, our children in this generation may make it through, because I'm very, very concerned about how they're going to live as adults when they have all this toxic waste floating around in their body and in their fatty tissues.
Well, that was a very heavy and bold statement, and I applaud you for it. I can see that you are fearless, and that's exactly the kind of people we need, like you, to get this word and message out. The boldness that vibrates from you, and you know, you're just sold on it 100%. I love the fact that you're a parent and you've got five children that aren't vaccinated. So, okay, we get this news, we decide not to vaccinate. It's 2011. We've got an infant that's a couple of months old. What do we do? Are there any special things that we need to do as parents to substitute for the vaccination, or do we just follow the general protocol for healthy living and life?
Well, first of all, I personally raised my kids outside the medical model. I stayed away from all pharmaceutical drugs and over-the-counter medications. The only time I utilized any kind of emergency service was at a hospital for broken bones. And so I really encourage parents to, number one, learn and focus on what health is and how the body functions. Because you must understand how to feed your children, how to nurture them, how to take care of them, how to protect them from this toxic world. I would say focus on organic eating, healthy nutrition, stay away from processed foods, things that are high in sugar. Go as natural and organic as you can. I'm a huge advocate of chiropractic care to help the body function and keep it going strong. So learning all that you can about healthy nutrition and being willing to do the extra steps to give your children good wholesome food and clean water, keep your environment in your home toxic-free, go into green products, whatever you can do to keep your environment clean with green products, avoid things like antibiotic sprays and hand washes and Lysol and, all of these things that we spray in our environment to make them smell good and antibacterial soaps are terrible. We need to let our children grow and develop an immune system naturally. And what people don't realize is that the fever and the swollen glands and body rashes are all part of the immune development process. Know that your child, for the first 6 years of life, is going to be developing their immune system. And in that process, they will have fevers, they will have skin rashes, they will have swollen glands, they will have diarrhea, they will have recurrent acute illnesses. Every time your child gets through an acute illness without any interruption, that child's immune system has developed and is learning about its environment. And that's, people don't understand that the baby gets exposed through the nose and the mouth, and that when they're out in their environment and they're breathing in new flora, new bacteria, new viruses, their body has to adapt to that environment and build the immune system. And when they go through this process, sometimes it isn't fun. I mean, children do have fevers, and they do have swollen glands, but this is how nature set it up. And one thing I would like to say about fevers, because I really believe that a fever is the body's innate wisdom at work. When a child runs a fever at 102, their body is producing something called interferon. Interferon is a class of protein that literally goes into the human body and stops viral replication and kills bacteria. It is a healthy, good, protein that the body puts in motion to fight any kind of infection. And so when your child is running a fever, you need not panic and know that their body is doing what it needs to do because something is not in balance, and the immune system is learning about its environment. And then when a child is running at 103, that is when they usually stop eating, they get nauseous, they might have diarrhea. Believe it or not, the body is storing all of the nutrition into the spleen because there's a bacterial infection going on. And the body heats up to 103 because those bacteria cannot live in that type of heat. They live in a very small variance of temperature. So the body heats up to 103, cooks off millions and millions of bacteria that don't belong there. They get to the colon, and the baby might have diarrhea for a day to get rid of it. Or the baby might throw up. You see, this is all normal immunity. So parents need to, first and foremost, learn and understand about normal immunity. And I'm actually going to be publishing a book on this because there's a lot more to it. There's a great book I recommend called How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor by Robert Mendelson. I used it the whole time I was growing, you know, raising my children. And I encourage them to get my DVD because I cover this on my DVD. And, you know, join my newsletter, my email. Just become informed and become empowered. And then join people in your community for support. There are midwives, there are chiropractors, there are naturopathic physicians, there are homeopathic physicians. There are Facebook groups, there are mommy groups, there are natural birth groups. There are all kinds of people who are shifting away from the medical model and moving towards a more holistic, non-allopathic model of healthcare. And those are the people that you want to hook into because they can be a great source of support and information.
Mary, can you tell us about your website, please?
Yes, my website is childhoodshots.com, but we are currently shifting it over to another source. So it's not as complete as I want it to be, but if you just go into childhoodshots.com, you can see that there's some articles and there's some resources there. I have my favorite links page. Normally there's a video up that you can watch, a preview of my DVD, but I was just emailed. Something's wrong with it. It's not functioning, so I don't know if that's my website information, but my website is childhoodshots.com. And if you simply Google my name or go to YouTube, you will find that there are lots and lots of videos out there where I am lecturing or speaking or being interviewed on various television programs talking about various subjects. So I'm pretty easy to find out there.
And thank goodness for that. Mary, our time is gone. Wow, what an unbelievable interview. You're just loaded with so much positive information, useful information. The key words I heard from you are learn and understand. So,
and know your rights, definitely. You've got to know how to defend your rights, or you are no different than a slave.
Yeah, boy, and we don't want to go back in time towards that one. Mary, thanks again. How about a final parting comment to challenge our listeners out there that are going to have children in the future, or maybe are in the process, or maybe even have small children right now? How about something to challenge them with right now before they possibly make the wrong decision?
Absolutely. First of all, I will say this much, that there are no long-term studies done on vaccinations. Second of all, the combination vaccines that they're recommending throughout most of the world have never been tested for safety whatsoever. Third, if a person feels that all of these vaccines are really safe, such as your pediatrician, your medical doctor, perhaps a relative in the family who's an MD or a nurse, challenge them. Ask them if they themselves have taken all the vaccines that they are now recommending for the infants, all 38, including the Gardasil cancer vaccine that they now say boys need, okay? Ask them if they have taken them and if they are willing to take them in weight-appropriate measures. So the same vaccinations, only in weight-appropriate measures. You see, we've been told that these vaccines are safe whether your child is 20 pounds, 10 pounds, or a 50, 60-pound child, or a 250-pound man. We've been told that all these vaccines are safe in a one-size-fits-all. And I challenge this all the time to any medical doctor who says he's willing to take 38 vaccinations that are made in a weight-appropriate measure. And we'll see. You know what? If somebody did that, I believe they would pass out, possibly have brain inflammation, and maybe even die because the toxic load is that great. And if I can leave you with one quote, and this will encourage people. When you hear something that's important and new, I believe that we are morally and ethically responsible to share it with those that we love. And if you feel compelled, please, please get my DVD and share it with all your family members and anyone you know down the street, neighborhood, or at church who's having a baby, because I'm about trying to save lives. I believe vaccines are killing babies by the dozens. And I love this quote. It says, "All that is needed for evil to succeed is that decent human beings do nothing." So I want to encourage everybody to do our little part, just by sharing information. And my email, if you would like to email me any questions, is mary@marytocco.com. And that's T-O-C-C-O.com.
Mary Tocco is on a passionate mission to educate parents so they can make an informed vaccine decision. She is a champion in this field. Mary, we thank you so much for the wonderful work that you are doing, and we want to support you 100%.
Thank you so much, Corey. Anytime you want to be back for an update, I am more than willing to come back and talk.
Excellent. Thanks again so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.